You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Victory Monday. My name is Asher Lowe, and this is Locked On Badgers, the show that brings you Wisconsin sports 5 days a week. I am the site editor at Badgers Wire, a play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports, including basketball and football. But most importantly, of course, I am your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. This is going to be a fun one. Let's ride. I did not see that coming. I did not see Wisconsin walking into Ann Arbor after everything they've dealt with and just the game being over in about 15 minutes. I mean, the game was completely over after the first quarter. There was not an ounce of any doubt in my mind at all that the game was not completely over after the first 15 minutes, and I was not expecting that at all. Today's episode, we'll get into why, of course, Wisconsin destroyed Michigan 49-11 and improved to 2-0. How it happened, big stories from it, the big takeaways for me from it, a couple big takes for you from that game. Also, as promised on Twitter, the full story at the end of this episode of how I got the nickname Hornibrook Guy at the Big House. There's more to the story than I put in that little tweet. You can only fit so much in a tweet. So I'll get into that full story at the end of the episode today because now I can talk about it and laugh about it. You know when something in life happens and it's really not funny in the moment. But then about 2 years later, things are going better for you. You look back on that moment and it was absolutely hilarious. That is the Big House story for me. So I'll tell you that and why I hated that weekend in Michigan. It was my worst visit to any place of any place I went in my time in college. It was by far the worst place I went. Didn't like Ann Arbor. Didn't like the Big House, but it's enough. Enough about that. We'll save it for later. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. You can go to BuiltBar.com right now for $20 off your next order at BuiltBar.com if you use the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces. The future arrived on ABC on Saturday night. A future that we've known it's coming. We know how bright the future is, but the present is just as good. And we saw a sign of the recruiting wins that Wisconsin has had in the last couple years finally starting to play out on the field. We saw it with Nick Herbig. We saw it with Chimere Dike. We saw it with Jalen Berger. Freshmen owned the night. And that is something that, when was the last time you said that about Wisconsin football? Take out Jonathan Taylor. And I'm young. So in my lifetime of being a Wisconsin fan, outside of that one season of Jonathan Taylor, I've never said that freshmen are dominant. A few freshmen are true freshmen are dominating the football game. And that's what happened. And it's not a surprise as to why. Wisconsin has taken their entire recruiting project, the social media aspect, the personnel on staff, the way that they target kids, the way they talk to kids, the way that certain commits will now go recruit for Wisconsin and really love the university so much that they want to go out there and land players that they want to play with. The whole thing has been raised up a notch. It's why the Badgers have the best class in the history of Wisconsin football coming in 2021, and it's why the class of 2020 is already showing out. And it's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why Wisconsin beat up on Michigan 49-11. Every single facet of the game, Wisconsin was better. And it started as it usually does with Wisconsin football on defense. Eric Burrell made a fantastic play to break up a pass, and then Scott Nelson made an equally fantastic play to come up with a pick. Love seeing Scott Nelson back in action and really back to a level that we saw flashes of during his freshman season. And then, of course, before last year, he was expected to be a guy that would start at safety every single week for Wisconsin, week in, week out. And then last year happened where he went down in Tampa in Wisconsin's first game at South Florida in week one and was out for the year. Great to see him back. Great to see Wisconsin getting to Joe Milton. And while the defense is making plays, we're making plays early and often, and the game was over because of it in the first quarter. How about this staff? We'll get back to the freshmen in a sec. That's my main takeaway from this game, but how about the staff? Let's just give Paul Christ and staff the credit they deserve, top to bottom. The coaching staff, the recruiting staff, right? The ones you see on Twitter that work in the recruiting department, everybody top to bottom, because they dealt with a ton of adversity. A ton. No Graham Mertz for 2 weeks. right? And he can't play for 21 days. 15 positive tests. 15 positive tests for student athletes and Wisconsin's head coach Paul Christ, Wisconsin's offensive coordinator Joe Rudolph, and many other staff members testing positive for COVID over the last 3 weeks. No football activity for over a week. Quarantining in hotel rooms in Madison, Wisconsin. About 3 days of practice to actually get Graham Mertz back into the fold. The players didn't know if Graham Mertz was playing at the beginning of this week. There were tons of guys out, right, in this game. Rashad Wildgoose, Garrett Groshek. We don't fully know if they're COVID-related or not COVID-related for all of them, but I would assume a lot of them are COVID-related. Not sure which is which, and we'll never really know until unless someone breaks the stories, which I don't doubt. I don't expect to happen, I should say. And I haven't specifically heard which names were COVID, were not COVID. If all of them were COVID, the guys that were held out that were expecting to play, like a Groshek, like Isaac Garundo. But Wisconsin lost a lot of guys. They lost pieces on the offensive line heading into this week, Josh Seltzner. And yet they still dominated the football game from the very beginning. Absolute domination because their program right now is in a class that is ahead of Michigan's. And it's amazing when you think about Michigan and their recruiting, because I'm talking about all this recruiting stuff and how much it matters. And I don't mean it matters like Wisconsin's getting five-star players, because listen to this. Michigan has 2 5-stars and 44-star recruits on their roster. Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan State combined have 1 single 5-star player. It's Logan Brown, by the way, Wisconsin offensive lineman, and 26 4-star players combined between the three programs. People love to get into debate about stars and rankings, and some people love to say how much stars matter. And stars do matter when you look at like the success of a player and projecting that success. If they are higher ranked, they have a higher chance of success. But as it is with many other disciplines in life and just many things that I've encountered, and usually this happens in politics. I'm not going to get into politics right now ever on this show, but I'll use it as a metaphor because I did study it in college and I do love politics. Usually there's this black and white solution presented to a big problem. There's two sides of it, and we have this system dominated by two parties. Each comes up with a solution, and that's the solution. That's it. That has to be done. The other side says, this is the solution. This is what has to be done, and you fight over it. I would equate that to saying that some guys want to say stars are everything in recruiting, and recruiting rankings are everything. Some guys want to say they don't matter at all. It's as it is in politics, it is usually somewhere in the middle. There's usually some gray area there, and there's gray area here. Yes, stars matter, but development matters equally, if not a little even more than stars matter. And we saw it in that Michigan-Wisconsin game. Not only does Wisconsin get really, really good talent that is usually undervalued by the recruiting ranking system, but they also develop that talent. There's no better place in the country for a 3-star recruit to go than to Madison, Wisconsin. Jamari Dike was not a highly recruited player. There were not blue bloods knocking down Jamari Dike's door. So who is Jamari Dike? Wide receiver from Waukesha, Wisconsin. You've heard all the hype about him. I fell into all the hype about him. And we were talking about him in preseason because every single player on the offense, whenever you'd ask him, who's impressing you, who's standing out? Jamari Dike. He's a Wisconsin native, low 3-star guy, according to 24/7 Sports. None special, right, in terms of the rankings. Gets to Wisconsin. He's a stud already. And we finally saw him break out on that double reverse to set up a Wisconsin touchdown early in the first quarter. We saw his speed on display. He was huge for the Badgers in this game. And he's a guy that's a 3-star recruit, right? It's not about him being a 5-star talent and Wisconsin getting him over Ohio State. It's about Wisconsin landing their guy, developing that guy already, and putting great pieces and coaching around him to allow him to succeed. And that's what Wisconsin has done with Jamari Dike. That's why, as a true freshman, Jamari Dike had a 30-yard rush on that double end around and 29 receiving yards to lead Wisconsin's wide receivers against Michigan. Now, Nick Herbig was a more highly recruited player, a 4-star guy, big get for Wisconsin in the recruiting rankings, and he is the real freaking deal. The real deal. It's amazing when hype... There's so much hype in my generation. I'm young. We're in the mixtape culture. We love to watch highlights, and we love and one, and we love those 5-minute balls like mixtapes where someone's dunking on everybody's head, and you think that the greatest player of all time is a 6th grader, and all this stuff. We love it. We love who's the best 12-year-old prospect in the country. My generation just loves that kind of stuff. That isn't how it always used to be. Social media has created that. Whatever. Nick Herbig and Chimere Dike both had insane hype coming into this year because everybody was talking about them in camp, as those are the two true freshmen to watch. Those are the guys that are going to break out. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to do it in camp. It's another thing to actually do it on the field. They are living up to the hype and then some. Nick Herbig has surpassed any hype I could have given him. He was the best player on Wisconsin's team. Best player on Wisconsin's team against Michigan. He's a true freshman. Three tackles for loss. And at the end of the first half, when Wisconsin rushed four and Nick Herbig was assigned to rush the quarterback in Jim Leonard's defense. Oh, boy. Go back and watch some of those plays. He doesn't actually ever get to Joe Milton. But, man, the explosiveness, the strength, it's all there. And it is so fun to watch. He is so good against the run. He is such a disciplined tackler. He's so quick. I mean, he's an amazing true freshman player. Like, it's pretty insane to watch him and think he's a true freshman. I once again go back to Wisconsin staff is on a different level than Michigan, top to bottom. Not just Paul Christ, not just Joe Rudolph and Jim Leonard, who the defensive players called a genius this morning. Eric Burrell called Jim Leonard a genius in the press conference this morning. But all the way up and down the board. The whole thing right now, the whole machine is working to a level that it's never worked before in Wisconsin's recent football history. The next 4 to 5 years, guys, are just insanely bright. I mean, there is no ceiling for what they could bring. And the present right now, like I said earlier, is just as good. It's an awesome time to be a Wisconsin Badger. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. BuiltBar.com is the place to go to get the best tasting protein bar in the game. So what is Built Bar? It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar with tons of awesome flavors, seasonal flavors and everything. And it is packed with 18/17 grams of protein, depending on the bar you choose. Some are even up to 19 grams of protein, actually. The new Maple Pecan Limited Release, 19 grams of protein in that bad boy. 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 130 to 160 calories-ish, and all packed in to the best tasting bar you'll ever get. You compare the nutrition facts to other leading protein bars, it's not even close. Built Bar wins every single time, and it wins the taste battle every single time. What more could you ask for? BuiltBar.com, use the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, get a variety pack, mix it up with flavors, it's awesome. Use the code LOCKEDON for $20 off your next order at Built Bar. $20 off with the code LOCKEDON. Let's talk a little bit more about why I loved this win so much, and I'm sure you did too, watching at home. This was a fun one. Also, speaking of watching at home, there were actually some people in attendance rooting for Wisconsin at the Big House. Wisconsin's family and friends, I wanted to mention this, did get a chance to finally go to the game, and it was awesome to see some limited family in attendance watching this win. The last two first halves of football, Wisconsin's played against Michigan, 56-0. These games have been over at halftime. So how was this one over at halftime? A little bit of a different formula than last year's. It definitely started on defense. Not that it didn't last year, but Wisconsin had a couple really long, solid drives at the beginning of the game last year. That wasn't quite the case this time around. It was really all sparked by Wisconsin's defense. Graham Mertz wasn't fully sharp, right? And are we shocked that he was 12 of 22, right? Didn't turn the ball over. I mean, that's a big thing. Are we shocked by that? No. He's missed 2 weeks. He just started his activity progression last Sunday. It's okay. It's fine. He's not a superhuman, even if he may have looked like one against Illinois. He missed time. He had bad symptoms, bad COVID symptoms, as he said in the press conference after the game. It happens. But how about that guy from New Jersey? Oh, I love the New Jersey pipelines. We all know about it. It's the oldest story in the Madison, Wisconsin playbook. Running backs from the state of New Jersey. Jalen Berger hit the century mark, looked explosive while doing it, didn't put the ball on the ground, had his first career rushing touchdown. Wisconsin has their running back of the future, and his name is Jalen Berger. Also, can we please just see Chimere Dike on the field every week, even with players not out? Like, I love some of the other seniors, but can we please just see Chimere Dike on the field every week getting touches? Please? Please? And how about Jake Ferguson's Heisman campaign, alive and well? Shout out Bucky's fifth quarter for that. Jake Ferguson, 4 catches, 51 yards, and a really, really nice touchdown grab where he went upstairs to grab it. Kendrick Pryor didn't have the huge game I thought he would. Okay, fine. I thought it was set up for him to have that kind of game, but the game was sort of over before it began, and Wisconsin didn't have to throw the ball a ton. It wasn't as close as I was expecting, as almost anyone I've talked to was expecting it to be. Let's give some fullback love right now. Shout out Jay Kokorowski at Rivals, the fullback legend himself. Coco was loving this performance from the Badger fullbacks. Mason Stocky, 2 touchdowns. If you had that in Vegas, you're a rich, rich man. And how about Wisconsin's second leading rusher? I'm sorry I'm laughing while I say it, but it's a bit funny that this happened. John Shadall, Wisconsin's second leading rusher. All of last year, John had 65 total rushing yards. But what about against Michigan? 71 rushing yards on 6 carries. A 43-yard run for the fullback. His brother Leo on the interception looked about as lost as I've ever seen a guy running back. And apparently his teammates are making fun of him for it after the game. But you saw that interception that Leo Chenal had where it just literally fell in his lap. I mean, it was perfect. And he just didn't know what to do with it for like a split second. And he just started running. It was glorious. It was awesome. Eric Burrell was fantastic. I mentioned that tip play he had earlier. Scott Nelson was fantastic. I've already talked about Nick Herbig. Wisconsin didn't even need some of its stars on defense. Rashad Wildgoose, didn't play. Jack Sanborn was overall pretty quiet, did his job, but nothing insane in the stat sheet. This team is deep. This team is experienced. This team is disciplined. And this team has the brightest future of almost any team in the country right now. And I don't want to look ahead, right? Because we're in such an important year for this team where they can get to Indy against Ohio State. Or if it's the game's going to be an Indy, we'll kind of see about that when we get to it. And then get to a college football playoff. It can happen this year. I'm not saying this is the year to do it because it's not the year to do it. But it can happen. A lot has to go right. Remember, of course, Wisconsin has to get to 6 games. That to me is the bigger problem right now before we start talking about Indy and Ohio State in an episode and breaking all that down. And Wisconsin has a tough game coming up this Saturday, and we're going to talk all about it. You guys thought because I tweeted out that Northwestern should be favored by, or should be underdogs by more than they are. Wisconsin opened at -8 against Northwestern. I said it should have been around 11 or 12. That was not a slight on Northwestern. That was how I thought people would bet their money. I think people are going to hammer Wisconsin -8. I think that line will go up as the week goes on. Trust me when I say, I think Northwestern is the toughest game on the schedule. And we'll have people on here to break down Northwestern later this week, and we'll talk all about that game as the week goes on. We have Wisconsin basketball and Wisconsin football next. Can you hear the giddy excitement in my voice as I say that? I can't even believe it's real. But it is real, and it's happening next week. This is a huge win, a huge program win. Jim Harbaugh is firmly on the hot seat, but we're not going to focus on Michigan too much with this breakdown. It was all Wisconsin-focused because they deserve it. They deserve all the praise in the world for going through what they went through, acting like nothing happened, getting up, going to work, and dominating a Michigan team on Michigan's home field. And it made up for one of the worst nights of my life in 2018, and I'll tell you all about that night in just a sec. But first, Coors Light is the beer that is made to chill. If you didn't have a Coors Light in your hand while watching Wisconsin dominate Michigan, what were you doing? Coors Light is the beer that is made to chill, and it comes directly to your house now at get.coorslight.com. It's brewed all the way at Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado, but they'll ship it anywhere to your house in the United States of America if you go to get.coorslight.com. Make sure to celebrate responsibly. And make sure to have it shipped directly to your house. Make sure to have a Coors Light in your hand when Wisconsin and Northwestern go at it. A battle of 2 undefeated teams. Nothing's better than chilling out on the couch with a Coors Light and watching that game. Celebrate responsibly on Wisconsin. All right, that fateful night at the Big House in 2018. I was a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin. And it was not a good night. I drove hours to Michigan in a small car, packed with my friends, because that's what you do in college, right? I get there, and the first thing I find out is that if you're not a Michigan student, and think about this, you guys have all been to Camp Randall. If you listen to this podcast, you've probably been to Camp Randall. I'm sure some of you haven't and would love to go someday, but I'm sure a lot of you listening have been to Camp Randall, and a lot of the people I talk to on Twitter and all that, you've been to Camp Randall quite a few times, right? So at the Camp Randall student gate, and I'm sure a lot of you know this as well because I'm sure a lot of you are alums. At the Camp Randall student gate, you can bring anybody in with a student ticket. Like, my dad comes in with a student ticket when he visits. My little sister comes in with a student ticket when she visits, when I was in school. And I'm sure all of you have done the same thing. Point being, if you have a student ticket, they don't care if you're a student or not. At that fancy school down in Ann Arbor, if you're not a student and you have a student ticket and you want to sit in the Michigan student section, you have to pay a $150 like processing fee. They check ID on the way in. It's a joke. It's a complete joke. So that was already making me mad because I didn't know that happened. I'd already bought a ticket and I'm like, well, it was $80, whatever. Then I find out to get into the game, I have to pay another $100, $150, whatever it was. Nuts. Absolutely insane. We'll never do it again just for that reason alone, but also why would I want to sit in the Michigan student section again? So I get in. It was already not a great weekend getting there and having to pay all this money. I get in, and I'm a rowdy sports fan. When I'm obviously not covering a team, I'm quiet in the press box. I follow all rules. But when I'm a fan at a game for a team that I love, I'm going to go nuts. And I was in the Michigan student section as a student. You think I wasn't going to go nuts? If you listen to this podcast, I'm opinionated. I talk a lot. That's why I like doing podcasts. I'm going to annoy some Michigan fans. It is what it is. So we have Alex Horenbrook starting at QB. I think it's a genius idea to start chanting before the game has begun about how much I love Alex Horenbrook. I came up with a clever chant that I won't say on the podcast, but it's not that hard to figure out. People have said it before. I wasn't the one that came up with it. I shouldn't say that. People came up with it way before me. And Alex Horenbrook starts the game as he does for Wisconsin, and he struggles as he does and did, not does, that's in the past tense now, did for Wisconsin. But it's a slow start to the game. I'm still yelling, going nuts. And people behind me are getting mad at me. I got people chirping me from all around. You know how it is. It's a 0-0 first quarter. It's a slow start. It's 13-7 at halftime. Still going nuts. Horenbrook made a couple nice throws in the second quarter. And then he just starts. The second half, he was just Alex Horenbrook. I mean, he was abysmal. He was 7 of 20 in that game, threw two picks. I'm still yelling about how much I love Horenbrook. I sit down eventually. I'm just beaten down. They do that thing where they play jump around, which every opposing team does and thinks they're funny, and they play it. They did it at Ohio State, too, when I visited and called that game on student radio. Point is, all these people are around me, these random people just yelling at me, chirping me, whatever. The next year, I think I'm, you know, all cool and a big shot and whatever. I have a media credential. I go to student radio, and I get involved, and I'm calling the Michigan game for student radio in 2019, a game that we dominated, obviously. The Michigan student radio sports director taps me on the shoulder and he says, "Are you the Horenbrook guy?" And I look at him, I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" He's like, "You're the guy last year that was yelling about how much he loved Alex Horenbrook for 2 hours straight at the Big House." And I'm like, "Yeah, that was me. That was me." That is the first, the only time that I want to ever be referred to again as the Horenbrook guy. But after two dominant wins, after a 56-0 combined score in back-to-back first halves against Michigan, I can finally laugh about that one. We're a better program than Michigan is. We're a much better football team than Michigan is in every single facet of the game. There's not one single piece of the program right now that is better in Ann Arbor than it is in Madison, Wisconsin. And that is awesome. I leave you with that. As always, on Wisconsin, please follow on Twitter at ALOW_33 at Locked On Badgers. Please drop a review if you can at Locked On Badgers on Apple, on Spotify. Drop a review. Always appreciated. I got a really nice review from someone a couple days ago. So shout out to whoever you are. You said you were a weekly listener and that you made this a part of your weekly rotation. So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate all the listeners so much. I love the grind. I love the interactions I have with you guys that listen. So means a ton to me. I just want you guys to know that there are people listening and communicating to me. This was a fun one to record. It was a fun weekend, and it's going to be a fun next few weeks for Wisconsin football and here on Locked On Badgers.